And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. What an incredible thing. Because God has been so faithful and so good to us. Today's scripture comes from Genesis chapter 21, starting in verse 8. It's a story that maybe you haven't heard often. And I want to read it first, and I'm going to go back and give you some details from before it, because what's before it really helps us to understand this story a little bit better. So starting in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 21. The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had bore to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, "Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly, because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offering will be reckoned, or that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away. For she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. This story really starts back in chapter 12. In chapter 12, God has promised Abram a son. And he's elderly and does not see how this is going to come about. He says, "From you will come a multitude of offspring." Well, his wife Sarah and him couldn't gather how this would happen because she's old in years and past childbearing age is what the scripture says. And they wait. And they wait. And finally Sarah says, "I know how to solve this problem. I have a maidservant. And Abram, I will give you my maidservant, and she will become pregnant and have a child, and that will be the child that we will raise, that offspring will come from." I encourage you maybe to go back and read chapter 16, because it's rather interesting. Because, see, Sarah comes up with this idea. Sarah shares it with Abram, and he participates. Hagar becomes pregnant, and she looks down upon Sarah because Sarah is not able to have a child. And Sarah comes to Abram and says, "This is all your fault, Abram." I really love that part of the story. It's all his fault for participating in her idea. Guys, don't run with that one. It will not gain you points. Hagar has a child. It says when Abraham's about 85 years of age. We join the story just after the second child is born, who comes from Sarah. That second child's name is Isaac. And Isaac means laughter. You see, Sarah laughed when she heard the angel say, "You're going to have a child." And she was in the tent listening, and she just started laughing. And one of the angels says, "Why did your wife just laugh?" And what does Sarah say? "I didn't laugh." And they name their child Laughter. That's what they name their child. Okay? So if you know of any Isaacs, that's what it means. Laughter. What? Pentecostal. Okay. The peanut gallery is speaking up already. So we come to this passage, and it says that Isaac has just been weaned. Probably somewhere late 2 years old, 3 years old, is when he is weaned. You've got to go back to their day, and you've got to remember that the child death rate was very high. So they were kept fed that way until they were late two, early three. Okay? Their mother would nurse them. And it says here in the NIV, it says that Sarah saw while they were having this party that the other son, notice it doesn't give his name. She comes to Abraham and says, "That woman and her child must disappear because they will not have an inheritance." Okay? So Sarah told Abraham to send them away, because they must not interfere with the promised son's life. Interesting. This was all her idea from the beginning. But I also wanted to let you know, the NIV says that she saw Ishmael mocking. Guess what? It comes from the same word as laughter. So he may have been mocking. He may have been laughing along with Isaac. They may have been two kids, a 15-year-old and a 3-year-old, having fun. And Sarah saw Ishmael laughing while playing with Isaac. And basically said, "He's mocking my son. He will not exist. He needs to be sent away." Well, those of you who are fathers might be able to grab a hold of this a little bit. It says that Abraham was distressed because it meant sending away his firstborn son. Abraham was distressed because it meant sending away his firstborn son. As I've said with this passage this week and looked around it in the scriptures, because the very next story is about taking Isaac off to be sacrificed. And Abraham is asked to sacrifice the promised son now. And here he's meant to sacrifice his firstborn. Abraham has to give up both Ishmael and Isaac. He has to give away both of them. I can't imagine what that would be like for him. Now, it's years apart between this chapter and the next chapter, because in the next chapter it tells us that as Isaac goes along with him, he helps to carry the wood that's needed to sacrifice him. God's asking Abraham to let go of both of his sons. Now, some may say, well, one was promised and one was human planned. God gave life to both. I hope you remember that. In our day and age, Isaac is the beginning of the Jewish nation. Ishmael is the beginning of the Arab nation and Muslims. And there are plenty of stories throughout history about how Abraham goes with Ishmael to Mecca to begin the foundation of the Kaaba. What I want you to pay attention to, though, is that as Abraham comes and he's distressed and he talks to God, his wife has told him, you must send him off. And it says he's distressed by this. This is his 15-year-old son, who is his firstborn. And in their society, firstborns always got double the inheritance of the rest of the kids. They're honored possessions. They are honored to be the firstborn son. And Abraham comes to God and says, I don't like this. And do you notice what God does? God said, you can do it because I will take care of your son and make him great also. God doesn't look at Abraham and say, bad plan that you and Sarah took up. And yes, she's right. Ishmael and Hagar must go off and just die. God says, Abraham, you can do what Sarah says because I will make a great nation of him also. God says, I will take care of him also. Now, I kind of sat with this passage for a little bit because of how we think about things nowadays. For some in our world, the Israelites are the most prized possession of God, and the rest of the nations over there are the people that should be pushed off to the side. Is that not right? That's the way a lot of people look at this. But God says, I will make a great nation of it. And I had to pause for a moment, and I said, wait a minute, let me read that again. Did God say that? And God did. God said, I'm going to make a great nation out of both of your sons. Now, that makes me pause for a moment at least, and I hope it would make you pause. God loves them both. And God says that God's going to bless them both. And guess what? They're brothers. They're brothers. Maybe they should find a way to exist together if God has blessed them both. But you see, many times we don't think that way. There's a great division in the midst of our country right now. You're either this or you're this. And if I'm this and you're this, you're wrong. And if I'm this and you're this, you're still wrong. Isn't that the way it's working in our country? It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter how. If you don't agree with things that I say, then I know you're wrong. That's the way it's working in our country right now. And this really made me stop and look for a minute. God says, I'm going to bless both. I'm going to make a great nation of both. Wait a minute. People that don't look at things the same way, God's going to make a great nation out of both? It just made me pause. Because sometimes we look at other people that don't have the same viewpoint that we do, and we know they're not on God's side. Don't we? It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's the church. It doesn't matter whether it's politics. It doesn't matter whether it's the neighborhood. If you don't agree with everything I agree with, then I know that God's not with you, is what many people say. It made me pause for a minute because God said to Abraham, you can send the mother and the child off because I will take care of your son and make him great also. Well, as we continue on in the story, it says that Hagar, it takes what Abraham gives her as subsistence, and they go off through the desert. And once their water skin is empty, Hagar takes her 15-year-old son, who's close to death, the way I understand the scripture, and places him under a bush, and she walks about 100 yards away because she does not want to watch her son die. And it says she cries out to God. So once again, I stopped as I'm studying this passage. Hagar is not Jewish. She's an Egyptian. She comes from another place. And it says that she calls on God. So I have to read the passage. Does it say that she calls on her gods from Egypt? No. It says she calls on God, the same God who's spoken to Abraham, the same God who's blessing both nations. It says that she spoke. They come close to death, and Hagar cries out to God. Where'd she learn this? It doesn't say that she cries out to her Egyptian gods. It says that she cries out to the same God that's being talked about in this whole story. And part of me, just as I said before this passage, part of me wanted to ask, where did she learn this? She's a maidservant, probably not highly thought of in the household. Well, especially not highly thought of now, since she's had a child. Sarah hates her. Do you think she was treated well in this household? I know she wasn't. You can go back to another chapter and find out she ran away one time before because she wasn't being treated well in the house. And God, the same God, said you need to go back and serve them. And she did. So I have to ask the question, where did she learn this? I think she learned it by watching the family. She learned who the true God was by watching the family. And when she comes into trouble, she cries out to the same God that Abraham and Sarah serve. They had some kind of influence over her. And she cries out to the same God. Now, as I read the scripture carefully, which is something I always encourage you to do, I'm thinking these things and I'm going back and reading the scripture again. I'm thinking about things and I'm going back and reading the scripture again. Verse 17 says, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lays there." She cried out to God. But it says that God heard the boy crying. He's 15 years old at least, maybe 16. Right on in their society, what would be called a man in their society. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God told Hagar, "Don't be worried." Now, how many of you are still going to sign up to worry? Go ahead, be honest. You're still going to, right? I'll be honest, I'm still going to. Somebody came to me this morning and said something about something and said, if it doesn't happen soon, I'll follow up on it. And I just looked at it and I said, I'm not worried about it. And they looked at me and they said, "You're not?" I said, "No, because you are and I don't need to be." We don't need two of us worrying about the same thing because worry doesn't do anything anyway. God heard the cries of the boy and provided a way for them to live and grow into a nation. Did God call about the nations of the Arabs? Yes. That's what Scripture tells me. Now, I know some of you are going to say, but they've been fighting ever since. Yep, you're right. Two brothers have been fighting ever since who had the same father. And they've been fighting with each other saying, "You believe different than me, but God blessed me." And the other brother saying, "You believe different than me, but God blessed me." Wonder what would happen if they knew how to get along. I wonder what would happen if we stopped letting division happen in our country. I wonder what would happen if we realized we're all sisters and brothers. And it doesn't matter what color shirt you wear, God loves you. And just because you're not wearing a purple shirt today, I can't stand up here and go, God must not love you because you didn't wear a purple shirt. And that's the silliness that we're doing in our country, isn't it? When it says that God blessed both and that God was there to help both. But the thing I want you to think about is, are we leading other people in such a way that they know who to cry out to when they need help? Are we leading other people in such a way that they know who to cry out to? It says that Hagar knew how to cry out to God. Where'd she learn it? She must have learned it from Abraham and Sarah. Even when people don't believe the way that we believe, are we helping them to know who to cry out to? Or are we just saying, you're not God's chosen one? It's pretty hard in this story for either side to say, you're not God's chosen one, isn't it? When it says that God chose both. God's not a fan of any one sports team. And if you don't follow the sports team I like, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you. If you follow the Cincinnati Reds, I feel just as sorry for you as I feel for myself. I've followed them since the Big Red Machine. For those of you that don't know when that was the 1970s. And I have followed them ever since. But just because you don't follow them and you don't back them, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you and God loves me more. You see, we make all these distinctions all the time. And all it does is divide us. I wonder what would have happened had Sarah and Hagar and Isaac and Ishmael been able to get along. I'm willing to say that Ishmael was not mocking Isaac. I think they were playing and laughing together. And someone misinterpreted what happened and divided two brothers for the rest of their lives when one of them wasn't old enough to make distinctions yet. God loves both. And are we helping people to know who they can cry out to? Or are we just declaring them part of the other side? Because when we declare them part of the other side, we don't see them as someone that God loves. And that's a danger. Are you helping people to know the God that they can cry out to? Even if they're different than you, are you helping them? Let's pray. Almighty God, it is difficult in the midst of our world because there are so many people that want to make divisions. There's so many people that want to call out names. There's so many people that want to say, we know you're not God's chosen. When the truth of Scripture is that even in the very basic of cases, going all the way back to Abraham, you said you would bless both nations. And yet here are both of those nations still fighting. And here is everybody else drawing distinctions when more than anything else, we need to come together. And we need to lead people in a way that they know who they can call on. So, Lord, guide us in being able to do that, that we might be, as Jesus asked us to be, peacemakers in this world, between all of humanity and you, God. Help us to be peacemakers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.